brother. Oh, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig
like,
it.
Stop right on. What's
up? Hey, man, what's your name?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I mowed the lawn on Sunday, but with how the weather's going to win this week, I'm going to have to do it again this weekend.
Yeah, man. You know, this is the kind of weather you like right here.
You know, I don't mind it, except for having to mow the lawn more often.
Well, it's a little too cool, man.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but I'll take that over close to 90.
Well, you'll be getting to 90 again towards the end of this week, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, it was state fair time, and that's kind of what happens during state fair, right?
Yeah, we're in the heydays of summer now.
All right, so I want to say we've got a great show lined up for you this morning. As always, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and we will hear his thoughts on President Joe Biden deciding to step down, and then Kamala Harris running. For President of the United States. And I have to say, I was at her rally on yesterday, and the energy level was absolutely spectacular. I've been around a little while. I've been around some campaigns, but the energy level of what transpired at the gym in West Dallas, the school in West Dallas, was magical. And so, you know, I'm sure that they're going to be able to keep that kind of energy level. It's 4 months. Considering all the things that are at stake, I'm pretty sure that they'll do that and ramp it up even more. So I'm really excited for all of those people who were there, who are all willing to roll up their sleeves and work. It's going to take, make no mistake about it, a monumental effort to, you know, put together 4 months, a campaign in 4 months to send anybody, let alone a black woman, to the presidency of the United States. That having been said, I want to welcome my guest, Miss Marissa Merkel, and she is creating a movie called Birds of a Feather. Good morning to you, first off. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here and feeling a little serendipitous considering our conversation earlier about what this all means to you topically. So,
you know, I will say to you that when I read the email about the film. Let's begin. Let's talk a little bit about who Marissa Merkel is.
All right. So speaking of West Dallas, I was born and raised. I've been in Milwaukee in my entire life, and sort of coming from an art background, I have a lot of passions and different creative outlets. But in my 40s, I have discovered filmmaking, and so I have written and directed this feature film, and I tend to really gravitate towards using film and creativity to serve communities. So topically, I like to explore things in narrative writing and build characters that are based off of inspired human existence topics and actual things that have happened to actual people, and building those into characters that audiences can relate to. So this film really steps into the place of childhood trauma and tries to understand and share with audiences in a positive way what trauma is, and try to connect with audiences something that maybe is getting lost in the fray, which is empathy. And we've talked about that a lot.
Do you have any filmmaking background?
I do. I actually started out out of art school, filming weddings and events for 16 years. I did that as a side business, but I really had something tapping at my soul saying, you got to make some films. Let's do some filmmaking. And so I had quite a bit of change in my life at one point, and I decided to go for it. So I've done some short film work. This will be my first feature film, and I'm excited to do it here in Milwaukee because this space, the state, and this city has an enormous amount of creativity and talent, and can do just as much with a film as any filmmaking hub can. So,
well, so before we get into it, I just wanted to, you know, give a definition of what trauma is. Sure. What is trauma? Trauma is a response to an intensely stressful events or situations. The effects can be long-lasting, but healing is possible. Traumatic events can happen at any age and have lasting effects on your physical and mental well-being. Each person's experience is unique, but there are common causes, and many people share some symptoms of post-traumatic stress like anxiety, flashbacks, and sleep disruptions. Now, you know, when you talk about trauma and people talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, people who've been in the military, and that was when I was a younger person, that's what they would be referring to, people who had spent time in the military.
Yes.
And who face life-threatening challenges every second of their existence while they're overseas fighting wars, you can understand that that's got to be traumatic. Law enforcement officers, people who don't know when they step out, when they leave home, whether or not they're ever going to wind up coming back home, has to be pretty traumatic, jobs to be a part of. But what you are talking about and what is the issues that children face.
Yes.
And many of us, as I said to you, I didn't face trauma as a young boy and growing up in my home. And so didn't see it. I'm not saying it didn't exist. You know, I lived in a nuclear family. My mom and dad raised 13 of us, and they were married for 66 years. And so, you know, I didn't know what it was like not to have a father in the home. And he worked, and mom stayed home and reared the children. And we lived in safe community. And we didn't have everything, but there was always food on the table, right? The lights were always on, lived in a safe community, a safe neighborhood. Those things, for the most part, you know, which were a little more universal back when I was growing up, aren't that way now.
And, you know, we're cut from the same cloth in the sense of being blessed that way. I also came from a very stable, loving, safe, middle-class family. And, you know, I was allowed to develop in any way possible that you would want a child to develop, and was safe that way. And so my first interaction with trauma was listening to my dad talk about my grandfather's experiences in World War II, and that really striking me and impacting me, but not really knowing that that kind of trauma also exists in so many other facets, particularly with children. And, you know, people, I think, don't realize and understand that more people than not are affected by real trauma. 60% of 16 to 17-year-olds have reported at least one type of very traumatic experience in their childhood. And that's a conservative number because a lot of abuse and a lot of trauma is never reported. So as I grew older, I kind of obviously, and you probably could say the same thing, you know, as you grow older, you can't avoid trauma as you get into adulthood. Of course, you eventually, it strikes you in the face, and you feel it in one way or another. for various reasons. But I think as somebody who grew up with that stable, good beginning with roots, I've been able to deal with my trauma in adulthood in a much healthier way. And I don't take that for granted. And as an outsider looking in, that's where I come in and say, I'm going to use my passion to try and help share the story of trauma and get people to understand, like me, because I think it belongs with and starts with people like me and you, to start telling that story and to start bringing empathy back into the limelight. So I think, you know, and we've talked about both of our relationship with WellPoint Care Network and using their resources and partnering with them and so many other great organizations in Milwaukee who are trying to sort of battle this idea of trauma.
Yeah, trauma is a part of life. You don't escape trauma because, you know, you're Elon Musk. And you may become the first trillionaire. That doesn't mean that he escapes, you know, trauma. You know, Donald Trump is dealing with trauma every day, trauma that sometimes he creates himself. But children at very young ages, in their early stages of development, are being exposed to traumatic situations that impact and affect them from the time they're small in those development stages of their lives. And many times there's no healing. There's no one to come in and talk with those children and kind of give them direction. And so they grow up with, does trauma go away if it's not been treated?
It does not. I mean, it's always there somewhere in the cracks. And I think that, you know, and that's why in this storytelling realm, it was important to have a character who's sort of in the throes of it. You know, this young black girl named Ruby who is about to enter foster care. But then we also have an older gentleman who survived it. And I think that it's important to share the adult perspective and the childhood perspective because childhood trauma lives on, unfortunately.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Miss Marissa Merkel, and she has written and is getting ready to produce a film called Birds of a Feather. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Marissa Merkel. She's written and is producing a film called Birds of a Feather. And as the OJs were talking about, you know, we are all in this thing together. You know, you chose to write this film or produce this film. So, as I stated before, all of us, nobody escapes trauma. It's a part of our lives, one way or the other. But why this? I mean, you know, you could have done so many other things. Why did this thing? Why did trauma, childhood trauma, pique the curiosity of you to the degree that you wanted to send a message to people through film?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are surprised or maybe expect that somebody who would choose this topic in their film has some sort of real experience behind them that was a trigger to follow this path and tell a story about it. But for me, as we talked about earlier, I'm sort of an outsider looking in. And as a child, you know, I had a certain, I think children in general have a natural sense of empathy, and that was cultivated in me. And, you know, I've always, as I've gone through life and I've met more people and had more experiences and relationships and of all different kinds, I think there's been this sense of helplessness in me. As somebody who feels fairly healthy in how they're able to manage their emotions and move through life and deal with healing and actually heal when I need to. And so this sense of helplessness sort of creates a burning fire to say, what can I do? You know, and so why not use my creative skills to marry that with purpose and do something that could perhaps help somebody else? And so in creating the story and writing about these characters and talking about this to people, even though the film isn't made yet, I'm already seeing something that warms my soul and warms the souls of the producers and other people involved, which is people are discovering things about themselves already that they didn't realize were buried and were there. And so because trauma takes on so many different facets, it's the things that you see and you expect that are in front of you on the TV and in other forms of media, but there's also these little seeds of trauma that sometimes it's just the smallest experiences that can stick with you for the rest of your life. And all of that is valid and all needs to kind of be explored.
You know, life is full of ups and downs, and so there is no perfect life. The way we've been created and the experiences that we have that make us who we are. When those things are impacted and affected at very young ages, 1, 3, 5, you think sometimes that the things that occur to children at those very young ages in their development don't carry long-term impact in their lives, but they actually do, right? They don't disappear.
They do. I think people need to be careful with using that term. Oh, it's a kid, they'll bounce back. Kids don't always reflect trauma in the way you would expect them to. And I think that, you know, at younger and younger ages, from my perspective as a creative, trauma has gone down the wrong trajectory in media. And kids, even at those young ages, are starting to have access to media. And we've sort of ended up in this space where trauma is being portrayed and desensitizing people to it. And versus building empathy and telling stories about characters that really allow you to understand trauma and understand people. You know, there's a very famous question versus question that is starting to be talked about more, and that is switching your mentality from what is wrong with you to switching it to, hey, what happened to you? And that's one of the questions we're trying to answer in the film.
You know, when you look at the fact that we are building more and more edifices to house children who we say, you know, need to be locked up. Well, they need to be locked away. You know, probably could do a better job of making sure that we have enough doctors who will be able to work with children. Children grow up, right? If we don't address the issues that impact and affect their lives while they're young, then they grow up with guns in their hands. For heaven's sakes, the 20-year-old young man that shot former President Trump was a young man who clearly was traumatized. Everything that I read about him meant that he was traumatized, right? It wasn't a normal act that he created. He didn't even care whether or not he was going to live. Nobody gets to live after they make an attempt on a president of the United States' life for the most part. So he couldn't even, he was a mentally disturbed young man, right?
Right.
Which didn't happen at 20 years old. Things happened in his life prior to, right?
Right. And I think we need to start facing the music and understanding that trauma is living in all the roots and sects of society. And it doesn't, there's no type of person that is immune to it. And we need to start realizing that those seeds of trauma that are maybe not on the surface and recognizable in normal daily conversation and behavior, they're there. And they're there for a lot of people. And so to look at things from the lens of they don't have a record or they've never done anything before is not cutting it. We need to really look at people and talk to them and start listening to one another and changing our own behaviors to understand that there's more there than meets the eye. And that is what is causing these extraordinary events. And
So we live in a judgmental society.
That's right.
Okay, so it's easy to judge, right? So my wife and I raised this young man again who's disabled, will be disabled his entire life. And people see him and they point at him and they look at that, look at, see? They have no concept, right, of what's going on. But we're so judgmental, we're so quick to point the finger at somebody and their behavior. That's not the answer to what we're talking about. 844-967-2789. My guest is Miss Marissa Merkel. She has written a film, Birds of a Feather. 844-967-2789 is the number. What are your thoughts?
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes. Something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm so excited to have in studio Miss Marissa Merkel. She has produced is producing a film. She's written it. Now she's working on producing it, Birds of a Feather. It addresses trauma in the lives of children. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Alex from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, good morning to you, Alan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. I want to comment about Kamala Harris as now
somebody. What?
Because, you know, I want to comment about Kamala Harris.
No, well, listen, we're talking about this film, and so you can call, you know, in the next hour, and I'll take your call on that then. We're talking about trauma. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I thought I could lead something to this topic. I was born in Ireland in 59, and I was adopted by two people from Aurora, Illinois in 1960 and brought over. And when you talk about, you know, this type of thing, trauma, the adoptive father was a foul alcoholic. He ended up leaving. My adoptive mother went through a real hard time. And from probably kindergarten up, I was reminded that I wasn't hers. And I think, and then at one point when I was in third grade, I was shipped out to California to go back to the father that I knew was only an alcoholic, but he had gotten his life together, I guess. And then I ran away at 14, and that's when I finally got some help, when I got into a boys' group home. But the thing that got me through it, and I think the thing I want to share with the audience, is that it was my survival instinct. It was to always survive and always do as good as I could. And I always made the promise to myself when I got married and had a family, that I'd make sure that my child had a great childhood, and I did that. And so no matter whatever else I did in my life, when the day comes to rest, I'll have that.
You know, Brendan, it takes a lot of courage to come on the airwaves, and I have great respect and admiration for you, to talk about, you know, your life. All of this, and the reason I think it's so important of having Ms. Merkel on, is because so many children right now are going through this, and we as a society, we kind of turn our backs on it. That's somebody else. That's happening to somebody else. It's not happening to my children. It's not my problem, you know. And so those are bad people, right? Nobody knows the experiences of what other people are going through. And if you didn't go through it, you're fortunate and blessed. But judging others is not the answer. Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. So Marissa, your thoughts?
Yes. Well, first of all, I echo your sentiments. We really appreciate the bravery and transparency with telling your story. And this is what it's all about. It's hearing people's stories, listening. You know, there's a quote by Meryl Streep that we're sort of borrowing for the film and we sort of believe in, and that is, empathy is at the heart of the actor's art. And this is what it's all about. It's about hearing people's stories. This film is a culmination of real people's stories built into two characters, a child and an adult. And so hearing things like Brendan's story really hits home. And there's so much validity in all types of trauma, and there are so many different types, and we just need to start listening to people, because the more we listen, the more people tell, and the more you tell, the more you start to understand how to help heal yourself. And that's part of what these characters do for one another as well, which is they're both dealing with heavy trauma. The adult in the story has survived it, similar to Brendan's story. And where they start to begin to heal is not just with people like you and me who are recognizing it, but by talking to one another.
You know, we live in a sexist society, and girls and women are treated as objects. And so I don't think many of us know the sheer numbers of young girls who've been molested in this nation, right? By their fathers, by their brothers, by their cousins, by the boyfriend, at very young ages. And so when a young girl has been molested, and then she doesn't get any treatment, she doesn't get any help, she becomes a mother. She becomes a person who is now going to be in control over another life. And if she hasn't had the treatment or the kinds of support that she needs, then this goes on generationally. Am I off base?
You are not off base. I think that, you know, again, there's sort of those two facets of carrying trauma from generation to generation versus what Brendan is trying to do and stop and you know, cauterize the trauma before he carries it on to his children or anybody else that he's around. So, but that is a huge problem, is people don't know how to deal with their own trauma. It's heavy. It's hard. There's no coping skills. There's self-deprecation. in a negative way, and they then become a mother or a father, and then you have this child, and again starts the cycle. So in the film, the adult survivor in the film, blue-collar guy, survivor, really in survivor mode, he came from a childhood with a mother who neglected him severely, who was drug addicted, who he ended up in 11 foster care homes. But somehow he's just in survivor mode. And it is until he starts to talk and listen and meet somebody else, this young black girl who's dealing with physical abuse, cigarette burns on her arm, and bruising and all of that kind of thing, and not really understanding what it is to have a true father, until they connect, does he realize that he can stop the cycle? He can have a healthy relationship with a family. So there's so many different facets to it. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, you know, Brendan is reflected in the mother of the young girl in the film. She is trying to protect her daughter from a castigating father figure, somebody she regrets being in a relationship with, takes measures that unfortunately end up putting her in jail, but for the betterment and survival of her daughter. So she's trying to stop the cycle the way Brendan does. So it really comes from both spaces.
You know, you and I talked about earlier, people who are at the border, mothers who have taken their children and went on a trek through the desert, not knowing where they're going to end up, with only the clothes on their back, no water, any of those things. Where they are, they've been traumatized.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so people at the border, many of those people have been traumatized. And they're people trying to escape the areas and the place that have traumatized them. And that's not the way they're looked at. They're looked at as if they're migrants who are coming here, trying to get in here illegally. We don't have compassion enough in this nation for others. And that's what that bothers me to no end in the wealthiest nation on earth.
Yes.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to live free on the Statue of Liberty that we always are so proud of. Those are the words that are there. And at the root of those words are accepting people who have been traumatized, many of them. We open our doors. We open this nation called the United States of America to you. That was the whole purpose of that. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Yeah, I think she brings a really, really good point up that, you know, trauma happens, maybe not just to one person, but two people, and whatever it is, and then they meet, and this happens with just all relationships. You bring what you have from your families into relationships that actually can make for toxic relationships as well. And I would say it's on a very much lower scale, but things like for the LGBTQ plus community, the constant verbal abuse day in and day out. I didn't have to deal with that as much from my peers that I did with my brother. And the thing is, you know, he didn't even know I was gay, but he just hurled the most vicious words day after day after day after day, that when you're a young kid, you don't have the ability to really fight back on all that. It all just kind of gets put into your own brain. So I just would say to everybody out there that's listening, you know, be careful of the words that you're saying. Be careful the things that you're saying, because your children are listening. And when they're listening, you're building a whole kind of self-esteem within them that is a bunch of junk that is not true about them. That just make yourself aware of it, please. And just make yourself aware and be a good person. And just because you think you might be a good person, or you make jokes about certain things or whatever, whether it's black jokes, gay jokes, whatever it might be, it's not cool. And it's not helpful to the rest of society.
Hey, Tom, very well said. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Marissa, it's, you know, people are listening. Make no mistake about it. They're listening. And maybe what, you know, maybe they're dealing with their own trauma.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they didn't think what happened to them was traumatic. But you don't have to be ashamed of you having gone through trauma, do you? It's not that.
Absolutely not. I think the more we recognize it and make it something that is normal to talk about, the better. Because, again, trauma is not just these obvious things. There's a lot of that, of course. You know, the obvious, you can see the kid who's acting out, who's the bad behavior, the adult who can't handle sort of basic healing and self-soothing and all of that kind of thing. It's the little things. You know, there can be one little thing that happens in your childhood that you bury. And if you open up, you know, that box later on in life, you realize this, all I can relate back to that moment or that situation. And I just realized that. And so we're molded by trauma, unfortunately, and we need to start making compassion popular again. We need to start making empathy popular again. And you know, I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but talk to one another and listen. Our listening skills have gone downhill.
You know, compassion, empathy, those are words, but the definition of them are a lot more powerful than the words themselves, right? Compassion and empathy. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is Marissa Merkel, and I know we're hitting it out of the park. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm really happy and excited to have Miss Marissa Merkel in the studio. She's written a movie called Birds of a Feather, a film that she's working on producing as we speak. It's about childhood trauma. And, you know, If we don't get our arms around this as a nation and continue to ignore it, it's not my problem. That's those people over there, right? There's not going to be a safe space for any of us because the numbers just keep multiplying, right? The one person who's engaged, who has the trauma, produces others. And then their offspring wind up in traumatic kinds of situations. Now, we also live in a society where it costs money, unfortunately, to get the help that is needed. And if you don't have money, you can't get the help that's needed. How does that make sense?
It really doesn't. And I think it's really important to understand that even before there's that need for professional help, there's so much we can do as individuals to help start to quell the effects of trauma. I mean, it's all about the choice words you use. It's about trying to understand when you're projecting to others and what effect that has on others. When you're dealing with something, to understand that you may be projecting it onto somebody else. It's about kindness. It's about asking somebody how they are. It's about that listening element. There's so much we can do before the professional help is needed at those young stages with kids particularly, that people aren't realizing make a big difference. And so there is something we can all do as people. And a lot of it too is stopping and thinking about what have I dealt with and what have I haven't dealt with? And so there's so much we can do as individuals for ourselves and for others to start to quell trauma in those small ways, which end up can becoming big positives down the road.
And I have to say, you and I had never met prior to today. We talked over the phone once. I got an email and I reached out to you, and it turns out we are both connected to an agency called WellPoint in Milwaukee that deals with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and thousands really of people who deal with trauma.
Yes.
And so my nonprofit, Voices of the Elders, is engaged and involved with WellPoint, and what you guys are doing, involved with WellPoint, and that's how you and I connected. And now we're going to be connected from, you know, now until this work is done.
I'm really excited about that. Yes, I'm so thrilled about that. And that was that serendipitous part, you know, us having that conversation and going, you are too. We're connected that way. I'm so impressed with that your nonprofit, Voices of the Elders. What a cool thing. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, is kind of stepping in and helping in really impactful ways. WellPoint is doing that, you know, being around for over 170 years in Milwaukee. What an institution, and how they've started to build up trauma-informed care within their services, and how they're starting to expand into the community, especially for teenagers. Such an important thing. And so when we partnered with them as a film project, as a feature film, it was important to us. They've really given us some tools already. They've read the script for trauma authenticity in the scenes to make sure that we're really portraying things properly. That's been such an impactful thing for us. We're very excited that when this film gets made, we will be sharing proceeds with them, and because we want to give back, and that's what this film is also about.
All right, let's bring Eric from Tulsa on quickly. Eric, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl, and thank you for having this conversation. I only wanted to bring up one question or something that I learned a while back that I thought steered me in the approach to people living with trauma, and it actually came from Oprah Winfrey. I don't know if both either of you remember, about 5-10 years ago, she was working with people specifically about trauma because she's, you know, dealt with a lot of it herself.
Right.
And she said, I don't know if it was her or someone taught her this, but she said dealing with people, dealing with trauma, one of the most important things to do is to never ask them what's wrong with you, but what happened to you. And I don't know if you spoke with that earlier.
Yeah, Marissa mentioned that, man. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. She mentioned that right at the top. So, Marissa, what is your website? How can people get in touch with you?
So our website is birdsofafeatherfilm.com. And it's a good place to learn a little bit more about the story of the film, the people involved. You can subscribe to get an email, monthly email, just to keep up on the happenings. And this is a film for the people, by the people, and supported by the people. This is not a Hollywood studio thing. So we also appreciate donations to help get this film made. So
you and I are now kindred spirits.
Yes,
and
we are.
We will certainly be connected. We'll bring you back again and again and again until the film is done.
Thank you very kindly, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show.